Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast brought to you by King Size Laundry at Harvey Norman. King Size washers available at up to 16 kilogram capacity. That's a team of footy jerseys all in one load.
Good morning along and nice morning in Melbourne. A touch of rain. Hopefully it'll clear and we'll get some good footy on the way. Wayne Carey is in the studio and what a lineup we've got. Chris Rogers will be joining us from the UK. Eddie Maguire to have a chat with us very soon about the $1 million kick last night. Billy Slater from the Melbourne Storm on re-signing. Dustin Fletcher on his new book. It's an unbelievable lineup we've
big
got coming.
Big show. And what a beautiful morning. A little bit overcast now. Been a couple of laps around the town already, Howie. Up and about, spring.
Well, talk about up and about. Our man in here that presses the buttons, Hyphen. You took him out during the week to a big poker contest. He's come in a new man. He's got a confidence about him. He's smelling of aftershave. He looks unbelievable.
I don't think he's been home, has he? And I tell you what, got the Hyphe through to the semi-finals too. Very sneaky, the Hyphe.
And I heard a rumour. Good poker face. He might have ended up at the end of the night surrounded by the bachelorettes as well. The bachelor.
Just trying to, I think the old aftershave tips might have helped him a little bit there.
Hey, we'll get to the footy very, very soon. But Daniel Menzel last night, 4 goals and a hanger. For mine, it's the footy story of the year, Ducky
One
boy.
Of the great stories of the year, without doubt. And what an impressive young man. He spoke so well after the game.
He did. And we will speak to Daniel Menzel later on in the show.
You've got an exclusive, Howie.
Well, we went down there and we ran out of recording equipment, so I had a chat with Daniel on the iPhone after the game. The iPhone, who knew, Ducky?
Oh, well, we all know that the iPhones do that, Howie.
Yeah, you use it more for video. I prefer the other type of recording.
For Solo! The fans! Hitting up on the pill, the fans! Handball to Grundy goal. Superstar Scott Pendlebury. Larko off a step from 40. Got another one. Ouch! Oh, yes!
There it is.
One-arm salute from Fasolo.
Snap to the goal square. Won't quite get it up there. Through. Good night for Levi Greenwood. Enormous night for the Pies.
Collingwood cheer squad tell you everything you need to know. Massive win, Collingwood.
Collingwood far, far too good last night. 17-8, 110, Geelong 9-8, 62. Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. Thanks to Harvey Norman. Duck, a week is a hell of a long time in footy because a week ago they got absolutely destroyed by Richmond and they did the job last night, the Pies.
Yeah, they did. And for everyone out there that were thinking, have Collingwood improved this year? You know, the same amount of wins? You know, has this group gone backwards under Nathan Buckley's reign and all that sort of stuff? They've improved. And I know wins, losses don't sort of exactly say that, but the way they went about things last night, bouncing back from the week before, as you said, and let's not forget, last week against the Tigers, only really that last quarter where they got absolutely smashed and did dominate the ball inside their 50, but they straightened that up last night. They were absolutely terrific. I tell you what, the pleasing thing, and Pendlebury was fantastic, but the pleasing thing for the Pies, Danes one was good in the first half, went off injured, was all their young blokes that went through the middle of the ground. Taylor Adams was fantastic. As I said, Pendlebury, they've just got this young core group of players. Side bottom's an absolute star. They're going to be a very good team. They will play finals footy next year, Howie. I didn't have them in this year. I didn't have them in the year before. So they've finished around where they probably should. But I think they'll make a big step up next year.
A name I want to mention to you, we spoke to him after the game on Triple M footy last night, Darcy Moore. And two things struck me. One, he's a very, very intelligent young man. I think educated at Carey Grammar. Two, a lot taller than I expected. I thought
200 centimetres.
Well, I thought he'd be about my height, to be honest. I'm sort of 6'2". He was towering above me. His attack on the footy last night, he's a confident young man. Gary said last night that he's a 200-game player. How do you see his game?
Oh, look, he was okay last night. Didn't set the world on fire. He's had a game this year where he's kicked 5 goals. Mm. So he's had a taste of it. He'll play again next week. He'll have a good preseason. He'll put on a little bit of size. But what I like about him is his athleticism. And once he gets confident and judges the ball, because he's a beautiful mark. And I love the fact that when he gets the ball, he bursts away. And not too many blokes that are 210 are going to be able to play on him and go with him in the air and on the ground. So he's got all the tricks. It'll be just another preseason for him. But well done to the Pies. The Cats are a story as well, Howie. It is the end of an era.
Before we go too far down that track, a lot of people saying that last night, and we'll discuss later on the show who you think should go and who you think should stay at the Geelong Footy Club. Let's not forget, and Chappie retired this week, how good this football team were, Dougie Boy. Been, and it has to happen. You have to go down the end of the mountain at some stage.
Yeah, and look, they're going to finish. It was very interesting to speak to Chris Scott after the game. They're going to finish about where he thinks they are, and that's about in the middle of the comp. So they'll finish ninth. Yeah, they've just been a wonderful team, as you said. And they're going to have some retirements. They just looked really flat last night and they look slow. And I know sometimes when you get beaten, you can look a lot slower. But from the start to the finish, they were never, ever in the game. Collingwood just outplayed them in every area. And they've got a big summer ahead. Clearly they're looking at, we're talking about Dangerfields and Henderson's and all these players. They've got to keep Stevie Motlop. They're not going to be – I wouldn't be riding the Cats off to play finals next year. They're going to be one of the sides in the mix to play finals next year. But in saying that, there's probably only two clubs that if you were to say right now, yeah, Carlton and maybe Brisbane were the two clubs you'd say won't make the eight next year. I reckon every other club would be saying that would be the goal, including Melbourne.
Which is a wonderful, wonderful thing, yep. Ducky. Duck, a big event at the MCG last night, $1 million mark. But before the mark could be taken, Eddie Maguire had to roost the ball 50 metres, which I would say to you is a pretty difficult thing to do.
Oh, come on, Howie.
Well, you don't think it's that hard?
Thing to do. It's easy, Howie.
Short memory. This is you attempting it last year, Ducky boy.
Big Timmy is in the square underneath it. I love the style. Oh,
shit. It's
shooting. My moment. Moment of the 2014 season.
Well, maybe it's not that easy. In actual fact, I've got to say, when I've been out of the game for a little while, but when you stand at that 50 on the MCG, you could go to any other ground, but you stand there with the stadium in the background, that 50 seems like 150. Well, it is not easy.
Well, we're about to speak to Eddie, and as I said, I think he did extremely well, but to the lead up, he had to have a couple of cracks to try and warm up the hammy, and I would have thought the pressure was building.
Come on, Ed. All right, Ed.
Come on, first
shot. Goes, the Collingwood president, here 50 metres out. He's directly in front.
Shang.
Hang. He's let it go.
Oh, tonight.
Won't get there.
Tonight.
He's marked it two.
Short. Take the cover off your driver, Eddie.
Drop it. Up. Finger on the line.
That's not getting there. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And the pressure just starts to build. We've got a
the hole's getting deeper.
Here we go.
No, that's it.
Oh, that's it. That's it.
Outside.
Oh, no.
Outside.
Well, he's into it, Ed. Look, he's not fucking around.
He's just rapid fire going again.
Oh,
that's it.
No.
That's it, Jim.
No.
Oh, no.
What time's the game start, dude?
Right to share at number five. Four.
Big crowd at the MCG, four attempts down, your two young sons watching you, and every father is a hero to their sons. Eddie Maguire joins us now. Good morning, Ed. How are you feeling at that particular time?
Well, as you said, Howie, it was the warm-up.
Yes.
mate, I'm not a sportsman, mate. I'm a television person. You've got to build the tension a bit. That's what it's like. It's like hot seat, mate. You've just got to draw it out a little bit, get the moment. Mate, I reckon I had one or two left in me. That was it. I was like, oh, no. No, I didn't even want to think about having to hand the ball off to Luke Darcy. But I must admit, early on, I thought, in due deference to the greatest player of all time, Wayne Carey, you couldn't get some bloke out of the media box to nail it first time last year. So I had all those things swirling in my mind. To be honest, I thought, if I don't get this one, I'm going to go. And what happened to Paul Curry, the bloke in the square? He said to me, friend, don't kick a torpedo. I don't know if I can mark it. So I said, if I don't kick a torpedo, we're never going to mark one here. So I better unleash.
And it was a courageous decision to go the big barrel in front of 50,000. And this is the great moment.
He might be looking at a barrel here.
Oh. Kick
he's got the barrel. No,
kick
he's got the barrel.
It's going to work.
It's going to square. Yes! Well done.
Torpy.
Paul Curry from Clifton Springs. You've won $10,000.
Well done, mate.
Yeah, well done, Ed. I've got to say, I just said before, now, I've played on the MCG a few times, but standing at the top a couple of years ago when I did it, when you look down, Ed, it seems a long way, doesn't it, at the G? It seems a lot further than... And you said you'd been going for a couple of kicks with your boys and having a bit of a muck around, but when you get out there, that square looks very small and it looks more like 150 metres.
It does, Duck. I had a kick a month ago at Terak Park where the boys play at Fran Footy Club, and I think their line must be at 40 or 45.
Yeah.
And then I went to the Westpac Centre 2 weeks ago after a game we'll call it at the MCG with the boys, and the 50 seemed a bit further there, I must admit, with the big sticks at the other end, the big sticks. And then the last time when I got out there, seriously, I've just started wearing glasses for the distance. I'm kicking this to the never-ending end of the MCG. I thought decidedly old last night, and looking at the pictures, I looked decidedly overweight. And so as of this morning, mate, I've better come to the Wayne Carey training camp. Yeah. I see you coming in, working out every day, Duck, and I might have to get out of the suit and into the track suit, I think, and do a bit of work.
All the video is on triplem.com.au as we speak.
Well, that's the other thing, Ed. You've gone out there, fair enough. You didn't even have, you know, the shorts or trackies on. You had the suit on. Must have been a bit more difficult.
Well, you know what I'm like, mate. I don't do things easily. I thought it would just be in fitting with the image of the Triple M Hunt Breakfast Show to go out in the suits. I just took off the shoes and whacked on the Adidas, and out we went in the Hugo Boss. And I must admit, I did have a costume change at home before I came in. The first suit I put on was a little bit tight, so I had to find one that was maybe a size up from the normal one. And the comic cuts weren't spilling over the belt.
As I said, Ed, I thought it was...
To no avail it would appear.
It was a fantastic effort to go out there and do that and put your image on the line, so to speak. The Collingwood Footy Club last night had a big, big effort to have to try and come back from what was a really disappointing last week against Richmond. Great turnaround for the Footy Club.
Well, I think I set the tone, Howie, let's be honest.
Now I've heard it all. I could accept it to this point, but I think you've gone one step too far now.
I'll tell you what was funny. When I came out for the kick, the Triple M, our boys were warming up at the punt right end, the Collingwood push, and they were all on it. They knew what was going on. They go like fairs and high five. And, I don't know, but hopefully maybe that was a little bit of levity. But it just shows you, and not being silly, but the difference between it being able to kick the ball and not kick the ball was last week 0-7 in the second term, last night 7-1 in the first term, and that sets it up. You've got the scoreboard pressure, as the Duck has always spoken about, and the boys played well, you know. And I was rapt because it was the young boys who did it as well. You know, Clokey going out in the warm-up, and he literally went out in the warm-up because, well, the boys were warming up. Jesse White was warming me up in the room. So that was the extent of his. He was actually having a cup of tea when they came in and said, hey, get dressed, you're playing. So from that point of view, you know, I just thought so many young guys played so well. I liked the Pendlebury move from Bucks, playing across half-back as they say in the classics these days, in a quarterback sweeping style role early on. And, you know, I thought Braden Maynard played a really good game, showed great courage and started to back himself in. He's a beautiful kick, and I think he has just sort of been a little bit tentative in his early stages, as you tend to be, particularly trying to thread the needle from halfback. But no, the guys were great last night, and side bottom up forward, there was, you know, so much to take away. Jordan DeGoey was great. Morey showed a bit again, and so we really, you know, we're wrapped. So if we can knock off Essendon next week and finish 11-11 and then kick ourselves over the summer for the games that we let slip, it's cost us a spot in the eighth, and really build on it, get into the trade and the recruiting period. And, you know, I think we're heading in the right direction.
That's it, Ed. Congratulations on your performance last night, your performance at your footy club, and on the rating success of the hot breakfast. You go and have a warm bath, and we'll see you in here on Monday morning.
I'll get the Epsom salts into the bath and dine off this for a while. In fact, having looked at pictures, I've had enough of dying off it.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate your time.
See you, boys.
See you, mate.
Well done to Eddie Maguire, and they're the number one rating breakfast show in the state, Ducky, which is good. I don't think the Dead Set Legends got a little plug along for helping them to get to that with a little 2 weeks we did helping out there.
We did.
Oh, I heard there was a spike in the ratings during that period, Ducky boy.
I'm not so sure about that.
Duck, a new book out by Dustin Fletcher entitled Fletch, in conjunction with Scotty Garland. What a wonderful career it's been. And Dustin Fletcher joins us on the line now. Good morning, Fletch.
Good. How are you, boys?
Yeah, fantastic to speak to you. Was it a chance to sit back and reflect a little bit, Fletch, sort of going through the last 20 years of your life with Scotty to write this magnificent book, which you can buy, I must add, at all good bookstores right now?
Yeah, that's right. And, you look back and, you know, for the Einstein to work out, 23 years ago is a long time. So I did struggle to remember a few of those years, but there were some pretty good ones throughout that time.
Fletch, you played on some of the great full forwards of all time. Clearly, not as many big forwards now running around. You played on the smalls, the talls, but Lockett, Ablett, Dunstall, the whole lot of them. That must have been nerve-wracking week after week.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, like I was always, as a 17-year-old kid walking into a team that in 93, you know, there were times out there where you just had to do your best. And, you know, there were weeks where I got four or five, six kicked on me every week. But, battled my way through that and lucky enough to, you know, still playing all these years later.
Right at the back of the book, I don't think Duck's seen it yet, Fletch, you've got your top five opponents. You got Gary Ablett, Jason Dunstall, Tony Lockett, Tony Modra, Stephen Kernahan. I turn the page and it gets to acknowledgement. So the duck didn't sneak
well,
in
he,
there.
Well, he never, Fletch and I never really played on one another a lot, Howie.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah, the thing was, obviously, he was a pretty good player, the man in there. But Johnny Longmire, Corey McKernan were at times more the deeper, you know, the deeper forward that kicked some goals as well. But yeah, if, I did get to play him a few times, and yeah, he wasn't a bad player, was he?
What about Fletch? Not only those players, but also right now there's some gun smaller forwards, and it seems that they've almost taken over. You've played on, you know, you would have probably played on Stevie Milne and all of those types of players.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a little bit the way footy's played today, where you're sort of going to get up and back the ground, and the smaller players, like, you know, I used to line up on Eddie Betts, and it probably first started when Cheese put me on Matera, Phil Matera over in Perth one day, and I had to play on him for the whole game. So, yeah, the small forwards are well and truly coming into the game at the moment and kicking some goals.
So what's the secret, Fletch? What do you eat the night before? How do you make it to 400 games? It's quite remarkable. You're only the four players ever to do it in the history of the game. Do you have a rum after the game? What is it?
Oh, yeah, I don't mind a drink after the game, but it's more, I just think it's got a little bit to do with, you know, it's a little bit in the genes. Dad obviously played till he was, you know, 264 games, and you know, maybe you're sort of at full back, you know, you sort of go for your contest and you sort of move back to your position, so you're not in the hustle and bustle of the centre where you're sort of getting smacked, you know, every sort of contest, but, and a bit of luck too, you know, footy's a tough game and to play 400, a fair bit of luck goes into that.
Dustin, two games left for the season. There's been a lot made of whether you'll get a game next week and whether you'll be fit to go and what this means. How do you think you're tracking? And is it a big thing for you to play the last game of the season, or is that just more the football world that wants to see you out there again?
Oh, yeah, it's probably more the footy world. I'd love to play, you know, another game. And, you know, you play footy for so long, and supporters, especially in the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, have been massive for us. So I think it's more the supporters, and they want that, and I do want it, but we'll just have to wait and see, because I'm not tracking as good as I thought.
Clearly, the last few years have probably been the toughest in your footy career. You write about that in your book. Was that the hardest thing to write about?
Oh, I think it was. Yeah, there's, you know, so many different people you know and you're friends with, and you know, you got the AFL and you got Asada and WADA, who obviously were a big part of it. So yeah, it is tough, and yeah, there wasn't a smile on my face when I was writing those bits, but it had to be done.
Plenty more smiles reading it. Premierships in there and best and fairest. It's been a wonderful career, Dustin. Hopefully we see you next week up against the Collingwood Footy Club on Sunday.
The book
is available right now in all good bookstores. Dustin Fletcher, called Fletch with Scotty Garland. Congratulations on the book, Dusty, and hopefully you're out there next Sunday for the Bombers.
Good on you, boys. Appreciate having me on.
Time to chat with the hardest working man in motorsport for all the latest motorsport news, thanks to HSV. Greg Russ, good morning, Thruster.
I sing while I'm waiting on hold there for you blokes, and I'm dead set scared you're going to catch me one day.
Well, you could sort of do a duet with Duck, because in recent times he's done Cher, he's done Tay-Tay, as he calls her, Taylor Swift. I don't think we need you two.
Tay-Tay?
He likes a bit of Tay-Tay.
Oh, no.
The old...
Taylor Swift.
No, nothing wrong with Taylor Swift. She's coming out. You're going to her concert, aren't you, Ducky boy?
I'll go if I get some tickets.
Front row.
Rusty
front
will be out there with his acid wash jeans on and his spiked hair. James Courtney, we spoke last week on the show, Thruster, about the fact that he was in hospital, a little bit worse than a lot of people expected. When are you expecting him back in the car? And obviously now there's some changes at Holden.
Yeah, that's right. So the question mark now is Bathurst. Can he be right for Bathurst? They're hoping that he will be. But for the Sandown 500 in a fortnight's time, they've drafted in Russell Ingall. So there were all kinds of names mentioned, from Greg Murphy to a guy in the States, Patrick Long. I mean, they looked at all kinds of options, but Russell was able to, he's obviously been doing some stuff with Fox Sports in the last year, and he's obviously been able to get permission to go and do it. So the famous names, Perkins and Ingall, that won Bathurst together in the 90s, are back together, but this time it's Larry's son, Jack. And that's really cool, I think. Very cool.
Talking about other talents and being able to sing, Ruster, like you and I, they tell me Daniel Ricciardo is clearly a talented F1 driver, but the Red Bull boss is impressed by something else. He's got another skill set. What is it?
this is, I was blown away by this. So obviously, you're expecting him to be, you know, great as a driver, pretty good with the team and with the engineers, et cetera, et cetera. But Christian Horner, boss of Red Bull Racing, said his other great talent is his dancing skills. So that'd be a bit like the boss of Triple M being interviewed about Mark Howard for, say, Cosmo, one of Howie's favourite magazines. Oh, yeah. And instead of his AFL calling talents or anything, no, it's his dancing skills that caught the boss's eye.
Again, I've seen you on the dance floor at Bathurst at about 4 a.m. thrusty, and I don't think... But if you want to talk about singing and singing in the lead-up to this little segment, this is sort of what you're up against with the duck.
We are never, ever, ever... getting back together.
I'm safe. I'm the best made my day.
Do you sort of equate that to Taylor Swift or not?
It was very hard to pick up straight away.
It was, hey, mate, we need to go serious for a little bit. Yeah, the tragic death of Justin Wilson in IndyCar. A lot of talk about racing safety. For those that didn't see it, a part of another car that hit the wall ended up flying across and hitting Justin. These things happen in motorsport, but always we need to push forward, push forward, push forward with safety.
Absolutely. So one of the things that has been considered in recent years is whether to close in the cockpit and to have a canopy like you might find on a fighter jet that goes over the top of the pilot's head. So purists don't like this idea. They think an open wheeler like a Formula One car or an Indy car should be exactly that. Others understandably say that if it's going to save head injuries and keep people with us, we should consider it. It has been tested a few years ago overseas, but I mean, huge outpouring this week. He drove Justin on the Gold Coast with Greg Murphy in the V8 Supercar event in 2012. Everyone in the IndyCar family has been rocked by this, and lots of people in Formula One as well. He was Mark Webber's teammate for a time and just a ripping guy by all accounts.
I spent a little bit of time, very fortunate this week, with Mark Winterbottom out at the factory up in Campbellfield for the Bathurst coverage, and the pressure's on that man. He's leading the championship. It's his teammate, Chaz Mostert, coming at him hard. Now, Rusty, you spend a lot of time around the V8 paddock. If you had to put your money on someone, who's going to be the V8 champion at the end of the year? Because the big points races are coming up now.
That's a really hard question because Mostert has started to... I mean, he's been great with qualifying, Howie, but now it's the conversion rate that's on the improve, and he's taken a big chunk out of Frosty's championship lead. If he's going to do it, this has got to be the year for Frosty, and I reckon he'll dig deep in this second half after what happened at Sydney Motorsport Park. I would not write him off yet.
Spot on, Rusty. We appreciate your time. The HSV once-a-year demonstrator event is on now. We'll speak to you next week. Great, man.
Ripper boys. Cheers.
You know what I hate about parking fines?
What?
You have to pay them.
Yeah, you're right about that, Howie. And if you don't, they build up.
Yes.
And recently, well, I...
You've had a build up.
Well, it built up a little bit. And I was in the... I was actually about to board a plane to go to Adelaide a few weeks ago.
They build up.
And the sheriff rings me.
No, he didn't.
Well, very kind of him to ring me because I had no idea because I'd moved address. So they'd been sent to the wrong address.
So the sheriff rang. The
sheriff rang and said, Wayne, this... And I said, well, it's no longer my car. Because I'd given it to Stephanie. So she was in
your fiance.
Yeah, she was in the city in a very important meeting and had to come down, and the sheriff was there and had to pay a fairly substantial fee to not get the car clamped.
Well, give me a sort of some indication of what substantial means in your world.
Above 3K, maybe a bit above 4.
A parking fine's only $70. They build up,
but I had no idea that they'd build up. And this is my little bugbear. Like the other day, Howie, I park, and it is. It's probably in a way, it's laziness. But I look at the sign.
Yes.
You've got to be just about a rocket scientist to work out whether you can park there because there's 4 different time slots.
Clearways and times.
So I had
zones.
2-hour parking, and then right in the bottom corner, it had 15-minute parking between 9 and 9.30, but all the rest of the time was 2-hour parking. I've just looked at it, thought, bang, 2-hour parking, all good, done. Get there, 5 minutes past 9.
Gone.
Bang, gone. Another parking fine.
Now, this is where I need to ask you a question. See, when that happens to me, then I get my parking fine, I swear, I curse, I get the fine, I go home, and a week later I pay it. So what happens in the world of Wayne Carey?
Well, this is the other thing that happened to me the other day. So I don't know. It's just it's the world working against me with parking fines because
working against you, is it? Well,
I pulled up the other day and a parking attendant. So I pulled up in and I think it was might have been no standing. But the reason why I pulled up there and it was on the side of the road clearly, And my phone rang. So I thought, I've got to get this phone call. So anyway, I pull up there. Then I get the little tap on the window and it's the parking man saying, you can't park there. I said, I know that, but I'm on the phone. So what's better? I said, I don't want to drive while I'm on the phone because then I'm in trouble with the police. Or I sit here. And he's gone, well, you shouldn't have answered the phone.
Good point.
Said, well, thanks for that advice, Mr. Police Officer, but you are a parking attendant and I'm about to move. You know what he started to do? He started to punch into his little thing as if he was going to give me another ticket. So I had to hang up and move on.
Can I just take it back to the previous question? I get a fine, I take it home, I curse, I swear, a week later I pay it. What do you do?
I throw it in the drawer.
And just forget
about it. And sometimes
I
leave it on the window and it blows off. So then it doubles and triples, quadruples.
What'd Steph say when the old sheriff was riding up on his horse?
Not happy. Still hearing about it.
Ducky boy, you grew up in southern New South Wales. You enjoy your rugby league. So you'll be off to the game tonight, the Storm versus the Cowboys. You get to see JT as well with the Melbourne Storm crew, Jonathan Thurston, one of the superstars of the game. 7:30 p.m. tonight at Amy Park. It's the last home game of the season.
Big game too, Harry.
My word it is. They need to get going, the Melbourne Storm. Tickets at tickettech.com.au. Some great news for Melbourne and one of their champion players during the week with Billy Slater. Going to finish his wonderful NRL career in purple after re-signing with the Melbourne Storm for 2 years. He joins us on the line now. Morning, Billy.
Yeah, morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, congratulations. A wonderful thing. I heard a little story during the week that you may have sent one of the Melbourne Storm owners a text message during the week, which is a wonderful thing, just saying thank you for giving me the opportunity to end my career as a one-club player. It obviously means a hell of a lot to you.
Yeah, it certainly does. Look, I've been at this club for a long time, and I've seen plenty of my teammates move on where they probably would have preferred to stay at the club. So, to have the opportunity to finish my career at the Melbourne Storm, I'm extremely grateful and very, very proud to be a one-club player.
Well done, Billy. It shows loyalty's been a big thing talked about in AFL at the moment, and there's a lot of people saying we don't want to head the same way as rugby, but your loyalty back to Melbourne, being one of the stars, could have always left for more money. I do want to ask you, how's the shoulder coming along? Because we know it took Gary Ablett Jr., well, pretty much a year to get over. How's yours coming along?
Yeah, it's going okay. It's still a little bit stiff. I've been out of the sling for about 3 weeks now, so just trying to get that range back into my shoulder, and then I can start getting a bit of strength work back into it. So I think I'll start running in about a week or so, so I'm looking forward to that. I haven't ran for about 2.5 months, which ain't great for the body, but to be honest, there's been a bit of chat about loyalty in our game as well over the last week or two, and every case is different, but in my case, I feel pretty loyal to the club, and I think the club's been really loyal to myself too. Like they gave me an opportunity where no other club gave me an opportunity to fulfil my dream and to honour what they've done for me and finish my career here and give back to the game and the club down here in Victoria. It's pretty special.
Billy, I must say probably 5 or 6 years ago, I used to look at the rugby league system and think, by gee, how do they play out a season knowing some of their teammates are leaving? And then as it's progressed in the AFL and players have become almost forced to lie, and Lockie Henderson came out a couple of weeks ago and said he was leaving his footy club and they said immediately he can't play. I think I've come to favour the NRL system where it's out on the table. Where do you sit on it all?
Yeah, you know, I think we'd be pretty naive if people didn't talk and sort out contracts before they were allowed to. I think having it out in the open for us, that the cards are on the table, everyone knows what's happening. And to be honest, once the contract's signed and the player's leaving the following year, it's probably better that way than as it's going on. So, while the negotiations are going on, there's a lot of innuendo played out in the papers and speculation, whereas once it's all finalised, I find things settle down, whether they're staying or going. So, there's been talks of having a draft-type system in our game as well, and I'm not too sure which is the correct way, but you look at both codes and there's issues with both ways they go about it.
Billy, disappointing loss on Monday to the Knights. As Howie said before, Jonathan Thurston, one of the stars of the game. Do you give us a good chance of beating the Knights?
Yeah, look, it was tough against the Knights. They played really well, and we weren't on our game. Our side relies on 17 contributors every week, and if we contribute and everyone plays really well, we can compete with the best sides in the finals. But if we dish up for performances like we did last week and a few weeks ago against the Tigers, it's just that consistency that's letting us down. So we played extremely well 2 weeks ago against the Sharks, who were in form. They'd won eight from nine coming up against us. So we know we can do it. But you know, JT and his men, they've got a couple of injuries in their squad now, so they haven't been in great form over the last month. But I think these injuries coming into their squad, they'll really focus down 2 weeks out from the finals. It's going to be a really good match tonight. So hopefully we can get the nod on them and go up to Brisbane and finish off our home and away season on a good note.
That's it, Bill. We're going to speak about Jarryd Hayne very shortly on the show with Steve Salisbury. And I was saying to Duck that it's my favourite sports story of the year, and what an incredible story it is. Do you shake your head, or have you seen this bloke do this type of stuff on the rugby league field? And you just pumped for him, Bill?
Yeah, I am, Mark. It's extremely exciting for all Australians to see what Jarryd's doing over there. I've played a lot of football against Jarryd. I've toured for Australia over in England with Jarryd. He's an incredible athlete. He's really fast. He's got a background in athletics, but whether you give him a soccer ball, a football, a basketball, he's extremely talented with all sports. So I had no doubt that he could go over there and do some of the things that he's doing. The biggest question mark I had was putting the helmet on, putting the shoulder pads on and having all that obstruction with you, you know, whether he could cope with that. And he's just taking it on leaps and bounds. And the way he changes the ball in his hand and palms, you know, they don't do that too often in the NFL because the risk of losing the ball is a lot higher. But, you know, that's just a natural play for Jarryd. And to beat a player, he's been doing it in the NRL for a decade. So it's great to see him go over there and play some great football. And hopefully some kids will broaden their horizons and have bigger dreams than what they probably did a few months ago.
Actually, you're right, Billy. That's the one thing I've noticed with his play over there. You're right. It's the ball in one hand and it's the palm off. They actually don't do that. They tend to take the tackle or run out. He's actually just pushing away from the helmet, and he's done it a few times.
Yeah, and you see, traditionally they'll just tuck the ball in and burrow their head or shoulder down to contact, whereas Jarryd's willing to beat a player and beat him with his fins. I'm sure sooner or later he's going to lose the footy doing that, and he'll probably get bagged, but he's doing tremendously well at the moment, and I wish him all the success.
Billy, as we let you go, have the family, have they been happy to have you home, or have you been a bit grumpy with the shoulder operation?
No. I got a bit of leniency for about 3 days, and then I had to get up and moving about and do my own thing. It's good to spend a bit of time with the family. We actually spent a bit of time up at the snow. I only rode the chairlift, but the kids were out on the slopes, which was great fun.
Storm versus Cowboys tonight, 7:30 p.m. at Amy Park. You can get your tickets at tickertech.com.au. Billy, once again, congratulations signing with the Melbourne Storm. We can't wait to see you out there again next season in purple.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Duck, the Cats have got some really tough decisions to make. That ageing list, which has got them to 3 premierships and has been the premier team in the comp for so long. Well, if they're going to bring in the likes of Dangerfield, which I've been told is done, and Henderson and Selwood, they're going to have to make some decisions. This is what Chris Scott had to say in his post-game press conference last night.
I will say that all the players that we have that aren't contracted for next season are very clear on our thoughts. Now, some of those thoughts are that we're undecided, but at least they know that's where they sit. Yeah, so they are very clear. Some are very clear that they won't be playing on, and some of those have announced it already. Some are clear that they will be playing on, and some know that the decision hasn't been made yet. I'm not going to specify who those guys are. It's just not fair on the others.
It has become a massive talking point, and speaking to people at Geelong, they're surprised how much of a talking point it's been. Hawthorn is going to face this in the next couple of years as well, because they've just been wonderful, wonderful sides, and we've loved seeing so many of these guys play footy. So let's have a chat about some of the footy players there that the people are discussing. Firstly, Andrew Mackie.
Well, they're champions of your footy club.
They are.
And they're premiership players.
And an elite team that bought the premiership after so long, Dougie.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, and before we get to this, and we talk about loyalty in footy. They have been to give Menzel, now he has had four knee recos, and they have stuck by him. And then to get that result last night, I actually wrote an article on Friday about that and actually said that Geelong have probably done it better than anyone. And just to listen to Chris Scott speak then, I mean, it just speaks volumes. I just love hearing him talk. It's succinct. And he summed it up pretty well.
We'll be speaking to Daniel Menzel after 11 o'clock. Some wonderful, wonderful players they're going to have to make decisions on. Andrew Mackie.
Andrew Mackie, my understanding, he's got a two-year deal on the table.
Right.
So he will play on for another 2 years.
And looks to have a fair bit of run in the league left as well.
Yep. Think he should go on. Jimmy Bartel, my understanding is he'll get another year. This is just what you hear, Howie, so this isn't 100%, but
James
generally not
Kelly had a tough night last night, it'd have to be said.
I think Kelly and Stevie J are the two that everyone's talking about, and I think they may be the two, once again, don't know 100%, but I think they may be the two that they may be undecided. And you heard Chris Scott say then that we're undecided, so we can't tell you, but they know exactly where they sit. Now, that may have come down to maybe the last two or three rounds, Howie, and who knows? So I think they'll have a decision made on them.
What would you say if I told you that Stevie J over the summer is going to be writing his book, Ducky?
Over this summer?
Yes.
Well, that would suggest maybe that he thinks that he might not go on. If you're writing a book, it's when you've
finished.
Well,
he is this summer, Stevie J, sitting down to write his book.
Well, there you go. So, that might. And I've also heard with Stevie J that Richmond may offer him a year and then maybe 3 years to go into coaching after that as
now,
well.
Now, that's another extraordinary development. Now, let's not say that he's finished at Geelong, but if he was finished at Geelong and you were Stevie J, would you push on?
You know what? It's a business decision. If he thinks he can go and you know, earn some more money for another year, I mean, I know Lingy and everyone else, one club player, but you have to think about your future. And if he honestly believes he's got another year in him, and if it is at another club, why not?
He might just love playing footy as well. No,
that's what I mean.
He might just love having a
exactly. Kick. So why not? I don't think anyone would begrudge him. Certainly the Cats fans wouldn't. No one would. And I think, you know, might be a really good thing, really good coup for the Tigers if that was to happen. The other one, obviously, is the absolute superstar 300-game player, Corey Enright. My understanding with him is he'll retire. And he's actually had a pretty good year.
His decision?
I think his decision. That's my understanding. So they're the two. Stevie J and Kelly, I think, are the ones that everyone will be waiting for. And I think we're going to know how. We will know by the middle of this week, I would think, because last game it's at Skilled Stadium. Simmons Stadium now. And to have a farewell game for a few of those champions will just be a great thing. And all the Geelong people can say thank you and they move on.
Matty Stokes?
Matty Stokes is, the other one that a decision will have to be made on.
Chappie gave it away this week, who was part of that group. He's my favourite of the lot. Being a Hawthorn supporter, every time you'd play the Cats in that period, you feared Chappie because he just used to turn. He used to flay the Hawks.
Big game, loved big games, didn't he? Always played well. And, you know, there are people out there that think that, and ex-Geelong players that think that what Chappie did wasn't great for his legacy and the game and all that. I go, you know what? He thought he could play for another couple of years. He played some good footy at the Bombers, probably gave great leadership, difficult time. I'm sure he was there for a lot of those players. So, you know what? Good on him.
Here's Jared Hayne. How about that catch? Say hey. Good day, mate. He does this a couple more times. We're all going to be eating Vegemite up here. The ball punted away again to Hayne. And he'll bring this from the 20. Makes the first man miss. Makes a couple more miss. And the punter has to stop him. Chris Jones finally drags down Hayne after 35 yards.
Ted, it's ridiculous.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. That was Jared Hayne last week up against the Dallas Cowboys. I love American sports commentary. I reckon they've let themselves down a bit there, to be honest, Duck.
Why? Well,
we didn't start throwing that stuff in for Jason Holmes last Saturday night on Triple M footy.
They don't like Vegemite either.
No, they don't. A man that will know all about how Jared Hayne's going, he's co-host of the NFL podcast, in the pocket, which is a very nice little arrangement called the Greenfield Post. You can check it out on Facebook now. It's a nice new podcast. Adam Rosenbach is on it. Jay Mueller here from Triple M's involved, and Steve Salisbury is the host of the whole show, and he joins us now. G'day, Steve.
Mark, Wayne, good morning, lads.
Hey, wonderful to speak with you. I hear you on the wireless a lot, and I really enjoy what you bring to the table. Jared Hayne, we've asked this question of correspondents from the US over the last month, and they've said, not sure, maybe, possibly. Is he going to make the final roster, Steve?
I'll tell you what, I didn't think so. I didn't think so because I figured that coming from never playing the game to going across and competing against guys who have been playing the game for as many as 20 years, I didn't think he had a chance. But in the first two games, he's got 286 total yards, which is more than any other 49er does. In the Dallas game just this past weekend, he averaged on three punt returns 29 yards a return. And to put that in perspective, last year, the best average on punt returns for the entire season was only 13 yards. So wow, he's done a lot of stuff that I didn't expect I'd see him doing. I was kind of concerned about his ability to kind of grasp the nuances of the game. And I'll tell you what, guys, he's doing a lot of the little things that I wasn't sure he'd be able to do. He's little things that you probably wouldn't notice, like shifting the ball from one hand to another as people come to, you know, if you're right-handed, do you like to hold the ball in the right hand? Guys are coming at you from the right side, it makes sense to shift it to the left hand, so it minimizes the chances of them knocking the ball out of your hands. But he's done a lot of that. He's hitting the hole. He's following his blockers. So as of right now, I'm going to say he's got a really good chance of making that roster.
That's it.
What about his fend-off? You don't see a lot of the guys do it over there. They tuck the ball in, as you said. You don't want to lose the footy in a tackle. And as you said, he transfers the ball from one arm to the other and then fends off with the other arm. Have you picked up on that, and what do you think of it?
I think it's great, Wayne. I think when he's returning punts, which is what we're talking about him doing, so the ball is kicked up oftentimes by an Australian, and it goes up into the sky, and it'll hang up there for 5 seconds. So you've got 10 other guys running down to knock your head off. And so you've got to be cognizant of the guys coming at you, know where the ball is in the air, shift to make sure you catch the ball. And what you've got to do is you've got to make that first guy miss. And oftentimes, if you make the first guy miss, you can turn it into a decent game. Last year, somebody averaged 13 yards a punt return. He's averaged 29. So yeah, I've been very impressed with what he's done so far. There's a lot of things that I think this is going to do. I mean, it's going to be interesting for Australians because we've never really seen a person other than Colin Scott go across and play a position other than punter. Mm. So here's a guy who on every Sunday, if he makes the roster, can actually have a dramatic impact on a game. It's going to open the doors, obviously, for a lot of other league players to go across and possibly some rugby players, too, to go across and play. It'll probably increase the NRL attendance, which I know is something they always want, they always worry about, and because you're going to have a lot more NFL scouts now coming across to see whether or not they can pick somebody like Jared Hayne up. I'll tell you one thing that I'm looking at, and I don't know if a lot of people are really thinking about this, is that Jared Hayne, by virtue of being the only Australian guy to go across and to possibly make an NFL roster, is going to have upwards of like $10 million in endorsement opportunities.
Ooh, wow.
And with endorsement opportunities, you're going to want to hit, you're going to want to strike while the iron is hot. That's what they always say. Because, I mean, if he turns out to be a flop, he's not going to sell, but he sells. Now, the problem that he kind of faces is certainly you're going to want, if you can put $10 million into your bank account, that makes sense. But the NFL, almost unique to every other league across in the U.S., it's a very team-oriented game, so every team is greater typically than the sum of its parts. Tuesdays are the only days of the week that guys have off, and oftentimes what they're doing is they're going into the facility to get treatment on injuries that they suffered in a game before, just a lot of different things. And young players like Jared Hayne, guys who haven't played the game very long, are going to have their nose in their playbook. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on him to make sure that he's getting what he's being paid to do done. But at the same time, you can't ignore the fact that he's got this $10 million opportunity to become an endorsement person. So I think that's going to be fascinating because I've seen plenty of guys in the NFL who get an opportunity, actually in American sports, who get an opportunity to make a few bucks by doing endorsements, and then they kind of lose the plot. So it's, you know, they lose the plot, and then guys in the locker room sometimes are offended by it, so it can create some strife for them. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Only in America, Steve. We really appreciate your time filling us in on about Jared Hayne. We're enjoying your podcast, In the Pocket, on the Greenfield Post. Check it out on Facebook now, and hopefully Jared Hayne can get the job done again this week. Appreciate your time.
No problem, guys. Appreciate your time.
Steve Salisbury. I still think it's the best Australian sports story of the year, Ducky.
Oh, it's big. It's big. He'll make it. Has to.
Has to?
Yeah, has to make it. It's been sensational. You can only beat what's put in front of you.
I couldn't agree more. Duck, in the last few weeks, I've been filling you in the increased sporting performances of my three-year-old who operates under the name of the Big Penguin.
Yep.
And he's extended his sports out this week alongside his sister, who's known Sky, for some reason, I don't know why, as the Pickle. So we've got the Pickle and the Big Penguin. And they've probably about a month ago, they both got golf clubs. A golf club in the hands of a 3- and 5-year-old is a dangerous implement, Ducky.
Both righties?
No. Well, the Penguin's a left-hander,
yeah, I thought,
and
so.
The Pickle's a right-hander. Yep. So it's good. So you set them on either sides of the backyard, back-to-back, so they can't hit each other. But the ball's along the ground at this stage, and one every 100 shots with his little 2-foot pitching wedge. The Penguin gets one in the air, and he sent one over the fence the other day, which was exciting, not for the neighbours. But I drum into them, Duck, don't go anywhere near each other. And don't walk out in front of one another, because a golf club is a very dangerous implement.
Yep.
So every time they go out to play golf.
So they're actual proper clubs.
Proper
clubs. Plastic.
No, they're proper clubs.
Okay.
Proper clubs. But you don't go anywhere near each other. Check your brother's not in front of you. Look out for your sister. So it's drummed into them not to hurt each other. So we're out in the backyard the other day, and I was, me being Tiger Woods as I am, Ducky, you said to the Pickle, I'm going to give you a couple of tips on your golf swing. So we stand there, and we have a little swing.
Probably best you get him some proper lessons. Teach him the right way to start rather than you teach him how.
Well, you're probably right. Anyway, we probably don't need lessons for the 5-year-old. But anyway, so I stand with the Pickle Skysy, and we have a little swing practice. I say, okay, so I take a step back. I've drilled into them. You've got to stand clear. She goes with a big 3-iron. Bang! Hit me straight in the freaking tooth, Ducky boy.
In the tooth. Well, it's horrible. You didn't say when you're around.
Yesterday, I'm at the dentist for an hour, Ducky boy.
Really?
And the big penguin walks in. Yeah, chip in the tooth. The big penguin walks in and she says, why are you here? My sister hit my daddy with the golf club. So if you're out there with your kids playing golf, steer clear. So yeah, $350 later.
In about 2 months' time, you're going to have to get him another set of clubs. You're going to be too small.
That's right. One of the great scenes last night at the MCG, watching Daniel Menzel return and dominate.
It was fantastic. You know, he had the first two handballs, got his hands on it really, really early, and then kicked the first couple of goals for the Cats. It is one of the best stories, and I agree with you. It's just remarkable to think that he could come back and have such an impact in his first game back. It was just awesome.
Well, I'm bringing a new segment to the table, Ducky boy,
yep.
Called From the Rooms. I spent a lot of time in the rooms. Last night, I must say thank you very much to Stace and Kevy Diggerson from the Geelong Cats. I pulled out the iPhone and said, listen, can we have a chat with Daniel Menzel? So this is a chat with Dan from the rooms, post-game last night, recorded on the old iPhone.
Dan, congratulations on your return to footy. Over 1,000 days, you've taken a loss tonight, and at the moment, that's the main look on your face. You look disappointed about the fact you won't be playing finals, mate.
Oh, I am, absolutely. I mean, coming in tonight, I was looking forward to playing, but I was looking forward to having an impact and win the game with the boys. Would have kept us in finals contention as well, and it's a weird feeling right now, because it's nice to get through, and it's a massive achievement that I've overcome by getting through the game, but it feels really sour at the moment, because it's so disappointing the way we went down, and now we can't obviously play finals.
The obvious question in this situation is, did you have doubts? But just sort of seeing you around the traps a bit over the last couple of years, it's never really struck me that you had doubts, which is the remarkable thing from the outside looking in. How's it been for you?
I mean, I guess you definitely question things and things like that, but I've always had so much confidence that I'd be able to get back to this level. I think I'm so fortunate with my strength and physio team, and they're first class. I back them in every time, and the club is has been so good to me every single time as well, and I can't thank them enough. So I guess having the team and the support network around me has made it so much easier, and I've never thought about giving up and giving into it. So when you put those two things together, I guess it makes it pretty obvious in my mind that I would get back, and I mean, yeah, it's been a long time coming, but it's nice to think that it's finally happened tonight.
What was it like running out onto that game ground tonight onto the MCG and running through the banner, and every time he got the footy, the Cats fans were going off their head. But what was it like coming out onto the ground again after such a long period of time, the Hawks, all that time ago in that final?
Oh, it was so special. I mean, the amount of support I've had throughout the journey, but then even the last 24 hours, it's overwhelming what messages and support I've got. It's incredible. But to just be warming up in here with the boys was, it doesn't feel normal because I haven't done it in so long, but I was just so excited, and the adrenaline and running out there onto the G, it was the most incredible feeling, and I'll never ever forget tonight and being back out there. Like, look, I actually looked around the stands and tried to take in a bit as well, and I feel like I'm so thankful of what people have done for me, and in a way I've been able to repay it a little bit tonight.
You had a shot early and missed it, and everyone's like, oh no, and then you kicked one, and I think your big mate who you've done so much work with, Nath Vardy, he might have been the first one to grab you. I think for a lot of people, for me, I think it's probably my moment of the season. It was a great way to get things underway again.
Pushing forward, Menzel, he's going to have a shot at goal. Can he bend it back? Daniel Menzel, welcome back to football. And look at him come from everywhere.
Oh, it was. I was pretty nervous for my first shot, and it showed in my kick. But, the next one, kicked down. Vards was the first one over to me, which was pretty special. We actually nearly knocked each other out when he jumped on me. But it was, that's amazing. I spent so much time with Vards in the rehab room, and to see him back last week was an amazing feeling. And to play with him tonight is incredible. And we've shared so much together. And he did say that to me just before, that first one over, he gave me the goal assist. And it's just an amazing feeling, and all the boys obviously rush in too, and it makes you think back to your first game and things like that. I mean, for me personally, this is so much more important and special than my first game because of what I've overcome, I guess. And so that is a moment I'll never ever forget as well.
And then a bit of hang time in the last quarter. Some people were sort of talking mark of the year stuff. It was a ripper, mate.
Back to College Asley, inside 50. Oh, big launch. Mental. Hey. He has had a comeback to save it. Three goals and a hanger. What a grab.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think they've gone a little bit overboard there, Howie. But it was nice. I mean, I got a good jump at it, and it stuck as well, which was good. But more importantly, I kicked the goal afterwards. It wouldn't have been great if I'd have missed that. But it's funny, actually, when I went back to the goal square, Ben Reid said to me, that was a nice mark, mate. And Stevie J, as he does, goes, someone got on a poster then. But it was nice just to feel good again, and to be able to jump and run and move like I know I can. And the knee absolutely is sore right now. It's going to be after games for a little while, but to be back out there running around, it is. It's an incredible feeling. And once again, I seriously can't thank people enough for how much they've supported me, because it has been really difficult at times, and I've just had the best network around me.
It's a tough question to ask, but there's a couple of marking contests there late in the quarter, and your knee goes, and you sit there around the ground, you're like, oh, fingers crossed he jumps up here. Do you feel that at all, or is it just you're in the heat of the battle and you've done the work and you're right to go?
No, it's an interesting one, because I've had it in the VFL a couple of times too. What happens with my knee, I've had tendonitis for such a long time that we've sort of finally got on top of it, but I get it stingers every now and again. I get knocks on the knee or just jolts on the knee, and what it does, it just stings for about 30 seconds. So I just get a bit of a limp on and don't move as well as I'd like. And I mean, I hope with a good preseason that will go away, but absolutely, mum and family I spoke to about it, and they do get nervous in all of my VFL games I've played, and tonight they would have thought the same thing. And I touched on that with my physio too, that my change of direction, second and third efforts, isn't quite where I want it to be at the moment, but that will come obviously with the preseason as well.
Hey Dan, we appreciate your time. Great to see you back, and maybe be the first of many, many games back out there for the Cats, mate. Well done, and congratulations on getting back out there tonight.
Thanks, Howie. Appreciate it.
And thanks to the Geelong Footy Club, and well done to Daniel Menzel. The story of the season in a lot of people's eyes. Time for the return of the highest rating segment on Triple M, Duck TV. Last week, you went into Caitlin and Bruce Jenner and the relationship with Kim and Chloe sorts of people.
It's Caitlin Jenner now.
Okay, well, all I heard was it was the worst, best radio people had ever heard, whatever that means. So, Duck TV, now you're spending some time being the great movie reviewer that you are with Hugh Jackman this week, Dave.
We've got Hugh Jackman on Channel 7 on this coming Friday night before the Richmond Kangaroo game.
Okay.
He's going to sit on the panel on Seven, mate. So we'll be talking about his movie Pan.
Wouldn't have thought he was a digital channel
which
operator.
Which I went and, well, he's a pretty big name. So he's going to come on and we'll have a bit of a chat to him about Pan. His movie and also talk about footy Pan.
As in Peter Pan?
As in Peter Pan.
Okay, well, what
and
have you got for
he
me?
He played Blackbeard.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, it was you don't often see the great Hugh Jackman play a villain. So he's the bad one, Blackbeard, in the movie. Very quite a good movie, one you could take the kids. But why is it, why seems to be a little bit scary? I know you've had this this argument before. Even the Minions, as I called them, you know, they even that movie, remember when I spoke about that? I mean, the Minions, they want to hang around, you know, a couple of baddies. So
the Big Penguin got frightened by Thomas the Tank.
Yes.
Why do you need a baddie in kids' movies? Well, Thomas the Tank.
Well, I thought it was fantastic. And Hugh Jackman, I mean, he's just multi-talented. He's absolutely brilliant. So great movie. Really enjoyed it. I was there with all the other media people. So it was good. It was a who's who of people in the media. I enjoyed it. I give it four quacks.
Four quacks.
Four quacks.
Okay.
Great.
Did you cop the season end of Suits this week?
No, haven't. Not on. Not over the Suits.
You need to watch what's happening with Harvey and Mike. I don't want to give it away, but Ducky, it's fall off your seat type material.
Well, I'll have a look at that and
all sorts of stuff
and talk about
next
that
week.
Next week. I might have to get to the restaurant reviews.
Now, The Bachelor. Two weeks ago, you talked about The Bachelor and you said about old mate The Bachelor that, what did you say about him?
He can eat an apple through a tennis racket.
You said he had pretty big chompers and maybe he wasn't aesthetically pleasing enough for the ladies of Australia.
Of course he was. And now I'm not breaking any new, but I've just noticed a couple of little things.
Hang on. Is it true to be said that you're at a function this week and spent some time with the hyphen as well, which is extraordinary, with some of the bachelorettes?
Well, I was actually at the poker night. Joe and Tony Hashem, who run a night, and by the way, Save Our Sons, muscular dystrophy, and they raised a lot of money. Fantastic night it was at Etihad Stadium, and the hyphen actually made it through to the semi-final. So a few of the bachelorettes were at the function, and I got a bit of an insight because I know I do this show, so I've got to do, you know, I thought I'll just delve a little bit into
a bit deeper
what is going on.
So wins it?
Just had a little bit of a chat. And
who wins?
No, I can't say. And they couldn't talk about it. And they didn't. They were very professional.
All right.
But one of the things I've picked up, Howie, is they don't actually, a lot of the girls, it seems to me like a competition, not necessarily there for love. It's all about beating the next girl further.
You don't think they're there for love? Well, blow me down, Ducky boy. Thanks for bringing something to the table. They're not there for love.
No, I don't.
Well, you could knock me down with a feather, big man.
I don't think they're for love.
What are they there for?
Well, I just think that's a competition to them. It's to see who can get to the end.
So the exclusive I've been plugging throughout the whole show is you telling us the bachelorettes are not there for love.
Well, that's just, well, what?
Is there anything else you've got? Because I think your audience might be a touch disappointed.
And the rose ceremony.
Oh, the rose ceremony.
The rose ceremony.
You did have something on
this. The girls often have to stay up until very, very late and they have a couple of champagnes, one or two, maybe too many. So they get them quite emotional and they're actually tired. And so when you see all of those shots and you can see them grimacing and everything else and feeling, it's because they're pretty much out on their feet, want to go to bed.
And 15 cans in.
And very, very late. So it is very demanding on them. And it was quite interesting to get a little bit of feedback on it all.
They're not in it for love.
They're not in it for love, though. That's the big thing that I took out of the brief conversation that I had with a couple of the bachelorettes.
Thank you, Sherlock Holmes. Chris Rogers will join us next. I've been pumping this up all day, and you've brought the bachelorettes aren't in it for love.
Nope.
Ducky, the Ashes has been run and lost. Disappointingly, we went down 3-2, and the Australian top order looked a bit dodgy. But if you could ever just go out and get a cup of tea late at night knowing that your batsmen were going to get the job done, it was when Chris Rogers was in. And fortunately, he's retired, but he joins us on the line now from the UK. Good evening to you in the UK, Buck. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, boys. How are you?
Hey, wonderful to speak with you. Was it a tough decision? Because you're going out on top, mate. Average 60 more than any other Australian batsman on the tour, 173. A big innings at Lords. Was it tough to say that's it?
In some ways, you know, it's a massive privilege playing for your country and you know, doing those kind of things. But I was ready. I think once I kind of made up my mind. I've been happy since. I've had no regrets. So, I think it's the right decision.
So not even a hint of thinking that you might go on? Because seriously, your last year has just been incredible.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I thought about it for a little while. I spoke to a few people and, weighed it up in my mind. But I looked at what was to come as well. No disrespect to Bangladesh, but I didn't overly fancy going there. But, I think this was the big series and the one I really wanted to be a part of.
Buck, it was a tough couple of months in some ways. You copped that nasty blow in the Caribbean, and then we saw you when you were dizzy out on the ground. Did that come into play? Did you start to get a little bit concerned about what was going on up top?
Yeah, it did, actually. I mean, I've just been hitting the head a few too many times for my liking. And it's kind of... I think it's one of the things you start to worry about. You know, you think, am I reactions kind of slowing down or whatever? You know, I was still batting well, but it just felt like people were bowling quite quickly. And particularly at the end, you know, with Finn and Wood and Broad, they were coming quite hard. So I was starting to get a little concerned. And every time I went to bat, it was, you know, I had to be right up for it. Mm. But, yeah, that counted towards the decision.
So what do we have to do now? Clearly, what did we do wrong in the Ashes in this series, and where to now for Australia, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting time now. I think, there's going to be a few changes, but it's just about finding the right blokes and sticking with them. So whoever they decide to bring in, they've got to let them kind of find their feet in that environment, because it's pretty tough. And if they make mistakes, then go with it. But I think there's going to be a few tough times ahead. You know, it could go well, but you know, I think over time we'll be fine.
Michael Clarke obviously made the decision. Can you tell us what occurred there? Can you take us into the rooms and lead us into the discussion about when he said, "Boys, that's it for me"?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I must admit, I kind of it didn't take me a lot by surprise. I think. You know, you watch him go about his everyday stuff, and he just works so hard, and you can see how much it takes it out of him, takes its toll. And I think just not leading from the front that hurt him. And we got to the Oval and the first session we had, and he just got everyone in. And then I knew what he was going to say. So it's been an interesting tour, because we had Brian Harris in tears at the beginning, and then obviously Michael there as well. So it's been an interesting time to be a part of.
If you were a selector, who would you bring in right now to take your spot?
Good question. Like, I'm not a selector. look, I think personally, probably Joe Burns. He's the next cat off the rank. I think, yep. You know, he was unlucky to miss the you know, this tour, and then he played quite well in the one day the other day. And, you know, I think he's almost next cat off the rank. So I probably would think him, but I'm not a selector, you know, the first and foremost. But there's some other good names, like Cameron Bancroft. His name's come up. Even Khwaja, you can't, you know, discount him. So there's a few guys, definitely.
Duck, I was saying to you before we got Chris on that some people would have thought he's sort of the more low-key member of the Australian touring party, and I was explaining to you that's probably far from the opposite. A man sort of in your mould, Duck and Buck out together would enjoy each other's company. Have you had a chance to let the hair down, mate? You do enjoy the social side of cricket, which is sort of sadly going out of the game, but you've stuck with that, which I like.
Yeah, I mean, I like to keep things pretty private, but I do like to enjoy myself and when you get to the end of the series, yeah, you gotta let your hair down, because it's a pretty intense time. But yeah, I've actually one of the photographers who follows us around, he's got a wedding in Ibiza this week, so just going there, and Peter Siddle will be there with his girlfriend, so it'll be a nice time, and just to get away from it, because like I said, it's been, you know, exceptionally intense.
Will we be doing some of the dance floor work that you did Sydney Harbour style when you maybe just were a little bit late to the Ashes presentation in Sydney?
No, mate, it's going to be low-key, of course. No, look, I think, you know, I'll no doubt have a bit of fun, but
yeah, it's probably, yeah, it's the right time, I think, particularly when you retire. You know, you got to enjoy yourself a little bit.
Hey, Buck, many young Australian men grow up wanting to play one test for their country. You did it 25 times and went out on top, which is a rare thing. Congratulations on a wonderful career. And Wayne, we see you back here in Victoria sometime very soon.
Yeah, look forward to see you guys. Cheers.
Wow, is there some footy to get through today? The boys from the Saturday Rub will follow ours, and then we're off to Hawthorn versus the Brisbane Lions down in Tasmania. And then the boys will be back, North Melbourne versus the Western Bulldogs. And this is a game, Duck. I'm not working on this one. I might even slide in for a quarter or two before the night game, because these two sides at Etihad, zing, 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 the ball will be flying everywhere.
Yeah, it's going to be a beauty, that one. And to be honest, Howie, these two sides could be meeting one another in a couple of weeks, or it could be the Kangaroos and Richmond, obviously. So it depends on how the rest of the couple of weeks pan out, but you're right, two sides that take the game on, and if the Kangaroos have a slight weakness, it might be their defence, and this this Bulldog forward line at the moment is absolutely flying, so this is going to be a beauty. I guess the question mark remains how they come back, the Bulldogs, that is, from Perth. But I tell you what, they're a much better team, and their scoring efficiency at Etihad is as good as anyone, so this will be an absolute beauty. I am tipping the Kangaroos, though. The Kangaroos have beaten them the last couple of times. I think they'll win and make it 8 on the trot.
Yeah, they're on a nice streak. The other main game of importance now that the 8's already been decided, but Adelaide take on West Coast. Some people I hear around the traps are still doubting West Coast. I just don't know how you could. They are a team and a half.
Well, I haven't tipped them too much this year, believe it or not. But they are. They're a gun side. They take the game on. Adelaide, I think they're the third highest scoring team in the competition at the moment. So all of a sudden, they're, you know, Walker kicking goals, Betts is back in form. They've got some real options up there. And I love Lynch. Lynch is that key sort of link man in that forward line, and just so many goal assists, very important to their team. This is an absolute beauty. I can't believe it. I'm going to actually tip West Coast. I know it's in Adelaide. All of a sudden, though, it becomes a little bit of a dead rubber, although West Coast will want to win to absolutely secure that top two position that they're in right now.
Who's disappointed you this year, Duck, as we come to the end of the home and away?
Oh, I think the biggest disappointment would be Port Adelaide. Yeah. I think they're the best side out of the eight right now. Geelong obviously would be disappointed that they miss out. The funny thing is, how I think next year, if you look at all of the teams and improvement and draws, the teams that finish outside the eight will get a softer draw. I reckon there's only two sides that you can write off next year. And I reckon it's Brisbane and Carlton. They're two teams that will probably be looking at, you know, rebuilding and and building, you know, in the next sort of 3, 4, 5 years. But everyone else, even Melbourne, will think they're a chance to make the eight over the summer. So going to be a massive year next year.
You reckon Fife will hold on and win the Brownlow?
I don't. I reckon he'll get pipped. There hasn't been a player that has missed more than four games that has hung on and won the Brownlow medal. I think someone said last night, back in the 60s or something, it might have happened. But it would be a big effort. I think Pritis has had a better year than last year.
Wow.
And I think Dangerfield, who is a poller, he's polled 20-plus votes in the last 3 years, and he has had a better year this year as well. And they've won more games. So I reckon those two might run over the top of him.
Now, Ducky,
some big guest today.
Yeah, there has been. I thought Daniel Menzel was fantastic. And the fact that he said, you know, it's still in his mind about the knee, but he's put it behind him and he's ready to push on, was absolutely fantastic. And his four goals last night was brilliant. I'm sure the boys will be on that as well on the Saturday Rub. It's time for the joke off, Ducky. What have you got?
All right. Why is 6 scared of 7?
Why is 6 scared of 7?
Because 7, 8, 9.
Not bad. Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah,
now, Ducky, thanks. I was in a bit of a hurry this morning. It was dark at home. Erica was still asleep in bed. I jumped out of bed and I fell over her bra.
You know what
it was?
Joke?
No. It was a booby trap.
Oh.
Not bad. See how I worked the story into the joke?
Yeah, very good, Harry. That's probably your best.
Yeah, thank you. Have a wonderful weekend. We hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next Saturday from 9 a.m. as always. Mark Howard, Wayne Carey, Dead Set Legends, Booby Trap, Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast brought to you by King Size Laundry at Harvey Norman. King Size washers available at up to 16 kilogram capacity. That's a team of footy jerseys all in one load.